I'm going to begin the reading in verse number 10. It says, "And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmah. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah my daughter to wife. And Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. And he gave him Aksah his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs." I need to pray one more time, if y'all don't mind. Father, help us this morning. Lord, I want to thank you again for all these men. Lord, I pray that you bless your word. Help us to be better servants of you, Lord, better examples, better dads, better husbands, dear Lord. And most of all, dear Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to follow you in a way that pleases you. We give you the praise for it, Lord Jesus. Amen. I heard a story about a guy. He went to a park to sit down and think a little while. And he was looking at some flowers across from him. And real pretty flowers. He was just sitting there looking. And as he was looking at those flowers there, a gentleman came by and took a picture of those flowers and walked off. And then another thing he saw there was a butterfly came and lit on those flowers. Just lit on the flower and then left. And then he saw a bee come over and get in that flower and crawl inside that flower and stay a little while. And that bee stayed in there a little while and come out. And man, he had that pollen all over him and he flew. He could barely even fly off because he had stayed in that flower a little while. And you know what? That guy got to thinking. He said, you know, that's a picture of the Word of God. Some people just look at it. Some people just like that butterfly. But some people actually get down in the flower and stay a little while and bring something out of it. Amen. And you know what? I've read this story for, I don't know, I've got several Bibles I keep around my desk, and I got to looking through. I didn't have any markings on this story right here ever since I was a kid. I trusted Jesus Christ when I was 7 years old. And I wish I could tell you I lived for Him the whole time. There's been many times I've failed my Lord. But I tell you this, it's always getting back to prayer and get back to reading the Bible that gets me right back with the Lord. The simple things get you right with the Lord. It's so easy to try to get life complex and think you got to do this and think you got to do that to be right with the Lord. But it's the simple thing. God made it simple so the smallest child can get right with God.
Right.
Now, what I want you to see is a picture of prayer in this little story right here. And the thing is one reason why I want to talk to you about this morning is prayer is so important, and it's the most often neglected thing that Christians do. Barna Research done a study on prayer there, and they interviewed around 2,100 people. And those 2,100 people, only about 10 of the whole group that was asked, how often do you pray, only about 9 or 10 of them said that they have a set time that they pray every single day. And the rest of them just mainly on Sunday, maybe on Wednesday, maybe if somebody calls on them, something like that. They don't have a prayer life. And what I'm trying to tell you is you can't run God's program on the devil's methods and the devil's means.
Right.
And you got to go the way God says go.
That's right.
Now what you have is, this thing keeps sliding down on me. What you have is you got to get in on God's program. I heard a story about a lady one time. She wasn't married, and she won't get married, so she went to a man and talked to him about it, and he said, well, you know what the Bible says. He said, it's one woman for one man, and that's God's plan. You can't improve on it, and you can't add to it, anything like that. She said, I'm not trying to improve on it or add to it. She said, I just want to get in on it. And the thing is, we want to get in on God's method. Now, one reason why I'm telling you about prayer this morning is because it creates an atmosphere in which God can move. If you want the right atmosphere, it's got to be an atmosphere created by prayer. Why? Because these are just four walls in here. But the Holy Spirit comes in here because He's on the inside of saved believers. Yes, so if you come in here and you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have a Spirit-filled service. Why? Because most people fill their spirit with the things of the world 6 days a week and expect to come in on Sunday and have a spiritual service. It don't work like that.
Right.
And if you're going to get connected, you get connected through prayer. Now, that's like in a doctor. If you got something wrong with you, if you've ever had a doctor come and scrape the back of your throat, and I don't know why they scrape the back of your throat, but anyway, they'll take a sample and they'll put it in that little dish. And what they'll do is they'll put a top on it, they'll cultivate that thing with that bacteria, and they'll put it in the right atmosphere so they can find out what's wrong with you. Why? Because the bacteria will grow in the right atmosphere. Now, I wouldn't take that sample, if I was a doctor, and put it in one of those little dishes and put Clorox in there with it, would I? It wouldn't be the right atmosphere for growth. Now, you don't grow bananas in Antarctica because it's not the right atmosphere. So if we're going to have a right atmosphere, it's got to be an atmosphere of prayer so God can move. And this story right here illustrates it to me. Now, the reason why is Caleb is the father here. And Caleb has a son, or this boy here. He marries this daughter. And what happens is, this daughter's name is Aksa, and she's a wife. So you got a picture of Aksa being a picture of the church. And she's going through a mediator to get to Caleb, the father. Now, what does that picture? That picture's us being the church, the wife, and we're going through the mediator, what? To get to the father. We got one mediator between God and man, that's the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So when you read this story right here, you can see a picture of this girl, Aksa, going through her husband, our husband's Christ, and to get to Caleb, the father, and she's asking something here. And it's a picture of prayer. And I want you to see some things here out of this text. Number one, she had prevailing prayer. Verse number 14 says that she moved him to ask of her father a field. I like that. You know why? Because it pictures the closeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is close to you. Why? He's so close to you. He's living on the inside of you if you trust Him with the Holy Spirit of God is on the inside of you. Now, there's a closeness that we have with the Father because we can go to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And in prayer. Now, the thing is prayer is often neglected, but we miss that closeness to God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." You've got the Lord Jesus Christ is able to understand anything you're going through. So I thank God I'm able to go to the Father through Jesus Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what we're going through. Why? She was able to move Him. Isn't that something? You're able to move the Father because of the Son. You're able to go to the Father through the Son. We forget that about prayer. I want you to notice something here. He was touched. Our Lord Jesus Christ was touched. He was touched in this passage here. The Bible says in John 11:33, I really like this, when Jesus therefore saw her, that's Mary, weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the Spirit and was troubled. It troubled the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ actually cared about what was going on in that life. He cares about what's going on in your life. A lot of times we think, well, I don't need to pray about this. I know the Lord's got a whole lot going on, and maybe this is just too simple to pray for. Y'all, I think we ought to pray before we get in our vehicle and ask God to protect us on the way to work, on the way home from work. Anything we do, we ought to pray and ask God's blessing on it. Well, He ought to be in charge of everything we do.
Amen.
Not just everything. He's Lord of all. Not just Lord of some things. Y'all, we need to have that relationship, a close relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. Our temptation is to lose empathy. And this verse right here is very, very convicting to me. So I hope it'll be a help to you. Hebrews 13, verse number 3 says this, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them." As bound with them. and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Just like we say, well, put yourself in their shoes. We lose empathy. We get to the place where, well, because of the, like Brother Randy says, the television and things like that, the glass toilet, some people call it. We fill our minds with those things, and we see all this murder, and we see all this these bad things going on. When somebody tells you, man, I tell you what, man, my family, we're going through a lot of things, and y'all, we've got a lot going on. Need you to pray for us. A lot of times we lose empathy and we go, oh, okay, I'll pray for you. I had a guy yesterday on the mail route. I was just talking to him, and we were standing out there in the street. This happens sometimes, I guess. And I told him, I said, man, if you don't mind, pray for me. I'm going tomorrow. And I told him I was coming here. He said, I'll pray for you right now. Man, that's a blessing, man. We need to get to the place where we just pray for somebody right there. You'll find out a lot of people not near as serious as they make out like they are about prayer. A lot of people won't pray for you in Walmart parking lot. A lot of people won't pray with you in Walmart parking lot. Why? Because they scared somebody to see them.
Amen. Come on.
A lot of people just got church house religion, what they got. Why, y'all, we don't need to be ashamed of Christ. We need to be able to, I tell you what, everybody in this room ought to be willing, are ready at any minute to die at any minute and to pray at any minute. Why, if you're saved, death ought not scare you. Why, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
And we ought to be able to pray for anybody at any time. If you're in a place and prayer is not welcome in that place, you ought not be in that place.
Amen.
Why, if the Lord's not welcome, we ought not go there. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've messed up while going to a place where I couldn't pray. We need to be able to get a hold of God right then. She moved him because he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And we need to be connected with prayer. Why? Because we're members of the body. Now, if you think, well, this body, if you look at your body, that's kind of how it is at this church. If I got a splinter in my finger, it would affect my whole body. It'd mess my whole day up sometimes. One little old thing. Well, if one of us at church is not connected with God in prayer, it's going to affect the other person. Why? We affect each other. We've got to all be close to the Lord. Not only was he touched, he was tempted. The Bible said, like as we are. Why? We're all tempted with the same three sins: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I was looking at those temptations this morning over there in Matthew chapter number 4. And the devil said, command the stones to be made bread. Now what's wrong with that? What's wrong with commanding the stones to be made bread? You ever thought about that? You know what you can do? You can do a right thing at the wrong time. It wasn't time for him to command the stones to be made bread. But you know what? He could if he wanted to.
Right.
You know what the devil tries to get us to do? To do a right thing at the wrong time. And it takes you being in prayer with God to know the difference. Y'all, you can be studying your Bible when you ought to be spending time with your family. You can be spending time with your family when you ought to be studying the Bible. We've got to know what to do and when to do it. And the only time to know that is if you get with God in prayer and you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer makes you sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, another thing too, not only what did you see his closeness there, but you see his compassion. The Bible says she moved him in that text. I thank God that he's moved. He's moved to help us. Brother, we're a people in need. You ever thought about this? Some of these guys, they make out like they can just do anything. Anything. Everybody in here had to lay down last night and go to sleep. Completely vulnerable. Completely vulnerable. Everybody in here needs the Lord. You got some of these guys. I remember I used to work with the weights a little bit. And a lot of these guys, you know, they can squat 500 pounds and stuff like that. That's nothing to the Lord. A good sized tree weighs a few thousand pounds. That's nothing to the Lord. Look, I'm telling you, we've got a Lord that's able to be moved. Why? We need his help. We need his help to be good members of this church. We need his help to be good fathers. We need his help to be a good example, to be a good worker. I tell you, you're talking about workers. Everybody in here, if you work, you know that a good worker is needed. And you know what? A Christian ought to strive to be the best worker at that place you work at. Now, you may not be. Well, some people got a Brother Dwayne there with. He's a good worker too. But you know what? We ought to strive to be the best we can be.
That's right.
Why? Because we're trying to set an example. And you need to pray that God will help you be that example that we ought to be. He was moved, and she was able to move him to help. Now, I think about this right here. The Bible said in Jude 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. You know what's going to make a difference? Is in a world that doesn't have compassion because the world is desensitizing itself to sin, we ought to be the ones that have compassion on somebody. We ought to be the ones that somebody can come to and say, hey, I just want to tell you, I need y'all to pray for me. And you won't gossip about it. You actually put them on there, not just to talk about what's going on, that you'll pray for them because you really do care. I've heard that old saying, people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. I believe that's a good saying right there. It's not in Scripture, but it's scriptural. And the thing is, she was able to move him. So you'll see prevailing prayer there. Not only that, but you'll see persistence. In verse number 15, you'll see the persistence. And she said unto him, give me a blessing. She already had one blessing. Y'all, when you're saved, it's already a blessing that I'm saved and I've got eternal life and I know I'm going to heaven. I don't have to wonder about it. I feel sorry for some of these people that wonder if they're saved or not. I don't have to wonder that. Why? Because it's a gift. I didn't do anything to get it. I just trusted Jesus Christ and what He did for me on the cross. That's a blessing there.
Amen.
But you know what? This is the thing about prayer. She wanted more. She said, I've already got it. She said right here, that's already give me a southland. Give me also springs of water. Y'all, you see that thing? She was persistent. Now the thing is, we ought to be persistent in prayer. If y'all are anything like me, or anything at all, like a lot of people are, we'll pray for something. If you don't get it right off, oh well, God didn't hear that prayer. Y'all, it's so easy just to give up on prayer. We ought to be persistent with God. Well, we're so used to microwaves and parking in a handicapped parking spot and getting right up there, just everything's fast, fast, fast. And God's not like that. I'm going to tell you something. God, you have to wait on Him. Why? He's operating on His time,
right,
not your time.
Right.
And He knows when you need what you need.
Amen.
We think we know what we need right when the time... No, it's not like that. God knows what you need. I thank God, as I look back, I thank God for so many unanswered prayers. Because had I got the prayer answered the way I thought it needed to be answered, I'd be in a mess today. Y'all, God will hear you, but He'll give you the thing that's right. She was persistent. Not only did she have a blessing, she wanted more. Now, I want you to see how she came. First of all, she came in humility. Humility is how she came to Him to get this blessing right here, because the Bible said that she came down. The Bible said over here, let's see here. Yeah, in verse 14, and she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wilt thou? She came down. That's the problem today. Most people don't want to be humble. Y'all, you're coming to Almighty God.
Right.
And we just kind of storm in there. Lord, I just want to tell you what I want right now. And I got this and got that going on. Y'all, we ought to come in first of all with thanksgiving. Say, Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the shed blood. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for letting me have health to be able to talk to you this morning. Thank you for a mouth that'll work and a mind that can think about you. Come in there with thanksgiving. Saying, Lord, I'm just glad to be here. First of all, now if I may, Lord, you know the Bible says come boldly to the throne. Yes, in the fact that you're a son, but not just storming in here and just throwing around wants and everything. She came down and she stopped what she was doing. That's the thing about prayer. You know what? You know why so many people don't like prayer and don't take it seriously? Because prayer shuts the flesh down. Our flesh, that flesh body that you're in is strong, man. That flesh is strong. It don't want, why? Because you're clasping your hands together and you're saying, I can't, Lord. I can't do it with my hands. You get down on your knees and you're saying, my walk can't do it. There's nothing I can, nowhere I can go, Lord. I went as far as I can go. And you get down, you look down when you pray. Why? You're being humble. And then guess what you do? You close your eyes. You're walking by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
And the flesh don't like that. Prayer is a position of humility. She came down. And y'all, whenever you come down in prayer, it's showing God that you need Him and you're recognizing that you can't do it, only He can do it. She came down. She was persistent and she asked for things. Y'all, I think it's good to ask for things. I've gotten to the place that I'd rather ask God for it and Him tell me no than to get to heaven one of these days and say, why didn't you ask for that? I'd get to you. Man, I want to ask for a blessing. Well, we need it. I need God's blessings. The thing is, I like this. She didn't ask for jewelry, but she asked for something lasting. You know what we do? We oftentimes ask for things that are just fleshly. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. Lord, I want a new car. Lord, I want a good house. Lord, I want a good job. Okay, well, if you get that job, will you witness for Christ on that job? If you get that car, will you take that car and drive your family to church? If you get this blessing right here, will you serve me with it, or will you serve the flesh with it? Y'all, we've got to remember that. Why? Prayer is something that we're supposed to go to God and say, God, I need this. Why? Because I want to be a help to someone else. It's not, she's wanting this here, but it's not all about what we can get. Now, another thing too that I thought about we ought to pray for, and it's biblical. We ought to pray for a few things. And Ephesians said that we have spiritual blessings. Now, a lot of times we'll take a prayer list and, man, we'll make that thing carnal. Man, we get over here and we get talking about old so-and-so and what she did before long. We're talking about what happened during the week and everything else before we realize we need a spiritual blessing from God. You don't ever hear anybody say, you know what, you don't have to confess your sins to a man. You confess your sins to God, but say, you know what, I got a few unspoken things in my heart I need God to help me with. Not just asking for a physical thing, not just saying, you know, I got a sickness and I need that. Well, that's physical. There's nothing wrong with asking God to help you with a sickness. But at the same time, y'all, there's so many of us that's sick on the inside. And we're so worried about getting our body that the worms are going to get anyway. We're so worried about getting our bodies fixed up, we forget to get our souls right with God. Right. Hey, God, I need you to help me with this lustful sin. Lord, this lying that I do. Lord, this hypocrisy. Lord, I need you to help me with these things that's getting me away from you. Lord, that's the thing. Why? Because all of us suffer. I know I do. I said, Lord, I need your help. And what will He do? He'll give you a blessing, a spiritual blessing. And y'all, there's some things we need from God. I thought about one of these, and there's no way this morning I could go over all of these, but I thought this was an interesting verse here. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, so speaking of prayer, I don't have time for that, that's too long. Let me give you this one. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11 says, ye also, I underline this in my Bible, helping together by prayer for us. Helping by prayer. Y'all, you forget that prayer is a way that you can help somebody else. Y'all, I'd rather have your prayers than your money. I'd rather have your prayers than anything else. Why? Because I know God's able to help me in a way that you could never help me.
Right.
I know if you'll ask God, say, God, that boy needs you. He needs you for this, that, and God's able to do things you could never do.
Right.
We help each other by prayer. The prayer, I believe the prayer list ought to be one of the most important things that you think of. I think instead of just, you know, we write the thing down and everything, I believe you ought to keep a personal notebook, write it down, and go home and pray for it. Why? We just forget. I guarantee you most of us cannot think of what so-and-so said they needed last week and the week before that, week before that. And we don't even know if the prayers got answered. You know what? God's not getting the glory for where He ought to get the glory at. Why? Because you can't even remember if the prayers answered or not. Why? I know that. But I tell you this right here. There was a time when I started keeping a notebook, fellas. And I tell you something. You're talking about a blessing. You're talking about a revival in your heart. Start writing those things down in a notebook in the date you started praying on it, and watch God answer all these prayers. I tell you this, the notebook I've got, God answers way more prayers than He doesn't answer. It'll increase your faith, and you realize that only God could help. Only God could have helped that family. Only God could have gave that man that job on that day. Only God could have done that thing in that family. And I'm going to tell you something, it'll bless your heart. That's what we need. Why? Because we need to be persistent with God. And just because we don't see the answer today, don't think that He may not answer it in a different way that would be a blessing to us. Amen. Why? He wants to help you, not hurt you. He's not up in the clouds waiting to beat you up. But we've got to set ourselves up in the right atmosphere to get the blessing. It's there. Another thing we ought to pray to give more cheerfully. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:8 that God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Cheerful giver. If you don't want to give, keep it in your pocket. I'm not saying, oh no, I'm just telling you this right here. God wants to see you give cheerfully. And the Bible said it's more blessed to them that give than somebody who's wanting to always get a blessing. It's childish to always want to just be getting. Y'all, you know this well as I do. If you've got kids here, you'd rather see your kids get something. You'd rather give your kids something.
And the thing is, we've got to get to the place to where we'd rather give than receive. Because it's more blessed to give than receive. If you want to get God's blessing, get to where you'd rather give. I've heard the saying, I believe it's true, the smallest package is a man wrapped in himself. You know what happens if we don't give out? We get to where we're just wrapped up in ourselves and we get selfish. You take that car, any of those vehicles out there, if they don't have an outlet, if they don't have an exhaust, that car is going to break down, isn't it? In your life, if you don't have an outflow, some kind of outflow, you're going to break down. You're going to dam up just like a river. What happens is if God gives you a blessing, you ought to be ready and willing to give out. Give out. Why? It's like a river. He said rivers of living water. And a river keeps flowing. You know what happens? A lot of times we stop praying and your river dams up. And you say, I wonder what's wrong. You're getting spiritually sick because you're not giving out. You're not giving out. And y'all, prayer will help you and put you in that mindset. And we ought to give cheerfully. Y'all, it's a blessing to be able to support the things of God. When you put that money in that plate, your heart ought to know, hey, if this right here is going to further the things of God, it's going to be a blessing. I want to get in on it. Not just, oh man, I got to put some money in today. Y'all, we want to serve God. It's a blessing to give. Not only giving, we ought to have charity in our prayers, but also not to be so careful. Not to be so careful. I thought about that for a minute. I said, careful. That's just full of cares. Full of all kinds of cares that don't belong. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. But watch this. How are you going to be careful for nothing? Letting cares of this world fill your heart and life. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. How? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. Y'all, you know how to get your cares out there? Put it in God's hands. Amen. I tell you something, there's a whole lot of you this morning may have something on your shoulders that's bothering you and it's weighting you down and it's keeping you up at night. But if you give it to God in prayer, God can take care of that thing and you can just let it off your shoulder and say, God, it's yours. I can't do anything about it. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that'll be what helps you right there. It's the prayer, giving it to God. These things ought to be something that's in our life and it's persistent daily. Now here's the last thing. Not only did she have prevailing prayer, she had persistence, but she got the promise. She got the promise. Verse 15 says this. She says, for thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now, you see in this prayer right here a promise of a continual filling. I want to read this verse to you. Jesus said in John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what you have? I like that right there. Why? Because God is the only one that can satisfy you on the inside. On the inside. He comes up to a lady in John chapter number 4, and she's at the well at the hottest part of the day to get water. And she's up there at that well, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the well, that well was pointing to Him. He is the well that never, never runs dry. And He comes up there, y'all, and He's talking to her a little bit. And before long, she realizes who He is. And you know what that Bible says? The Bible says she came up there with a water pot. But then later on in that chapter, she had dropped her water pot and ran into the city. And she said, come see a man. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ. Why did she say that, friend? I'm telling you, that Bible says that she dropped that water pot. Her physical thirst was no longer of importance. Why? Because she had been quenched spiritually. Y'all, this morning you ask yourself something. Are you quenched spiritually this morning? Spiritually speaking, how are you this morning? Are you to the place in your prayers where you know God has got the answer and you know God's able to help you and you got confidence in God? I'll tell you something, without that prayer, you'll lose confidence in God. Right. You'll get to the place to where you're like Adam. Why? Sin makes you run from God. He said, I was afraid why he had sinned. But you know what we do? We can go there to God and we can get with God in prayer and say, Lord, I have sinned. I've messed up. Lord, I want you to help me. Lord, I want your forgiveness. And you can get back up and you can face the world like you ought to. Why? Because if you kneel before God, you can stand before any man.
Amen.
We get to the place there where we think, well, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done the other thing. You know what the Bible tells you about Simon Peter? He denied the Lord 3 times. I know y'all heard about that. We're rough on Simon Peter. Now, everybody in here has denied the Lord in one way or the other. I can tell you that right now. But you know what? Acts chapter number 3, he stands up there and talks to those Jews, and he said, you denied the Lord. How could he say that when he had denied the Lord himself? Think about it. He was preaching from a repented standpoint.
Right.
He said, I've done it, and I don't want to see you do it. You know what? How can I stand up here this morning and preach to you when I've messed up all week long? Don't think I'm perfect. I put my pants on one leg at a time just like anybody else. But you know what? I asked God for His help, and I said, God, these men need you. These men need to be the fathers they need to be, and they need to be good examples where they're at and in the mission field you placed them in. Lord, we need some help this morning. Why? You're able to stand and help somebody. Why? Because you've gotten help. Peter had gotten forgiveness for that denial, and he knew that he could preach to other people, and he said, you denied it, but guess what? He was saying, you can be forgiven. Right. You know what, this morning, you can't give out what you don't have. If you don't know God's forgiveness, you can't tell other people how to be forgiven, because you can't give it out. If you don't have the joy of the Lord this morning, you can't stand up there and say, do you have the joy of the Lord this morning? When you really don't have it, well, you got the joy. Well, I don't want the joy you got. Why? You really ain't got no... Why? They know. Friends, people can sense it. They can tell. Why? We're not stupid. I'm telling you right now that you've got to get things from God. You got to get the comfort of God to be able to give the comfort of God. You've got to get the peace of God to be able to give the peace of God. Whatever you want to give somebody else, you've got to get it from God, and God's the only one that can give it to you. And y'all, we need it. This is a good group of men here this morning. But you know what? We need to go out in a place to where we can help somebody else. But you can't help somebody else if you hadn't got the help from God first.
Right.
We got to be persistent and get the blessings, and it's a continual filling. When you get saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to have.
Amen.
But let me tell you something, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
You can be filled up. You ever took a thing of water there and put it on your stove and filled it half full? And man, you get that thing hot, turn that stove on, and it gets boiling up, and guess what? That water will become vapor there, and it'll fill that whole thing. That's what you got to do in the morning. Sunday morning before the service, you expect the preacher to be full of the Spirit and ready to go and ready to preach. Well, are you full of the Spirit and ready to go and ready to receive preaching? Y'all, we've got to be the place where we're ready to receive the preach and receive the Word, and the Word can be sown on good ground. Why, you can't fill up with the devil all week and expect to be full of the Holy Spirit whenever the service is there. We say, well, the preacher just not feeding me. Well, he can't feed you when he's throwing the seed and the seed's hitting hard ground, man.
Amen.
We expecting too much out of the preacher. You got to have your part too. And it takes prayer to do it. It's going to take that continual filling. She wanted that filling, and she knew that those springs were available. I'm telling you this morning that God is able to give you a continual filling. Why? The Bible says, and be you filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? It's just as much a sin not to be filled with the Holy Spirit as it is to go out here and get drunk. I'll tell you what, old so-and-so, he sure does drink. Well, I'll tell you what about you too. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit like you ought to be filled. We rough on others, but we're not hard on ourselves. Y'all, we got to be to the place where the Bible don't ever say, examine your neighbor over there. I'm a fruit inspector, you know. At Matthew chapter 7 is talking about false prophets. You better watch that stuff. Why? I'm telling y'all, we got to get to the place as men where we examine ourselves first.
Right.
You know what the problem is? We're looking at everybody else instead of looking in the mirror and saying, the problem is me. Y'all, we as men have got to get to the place where we get up in the morning and say, Lord, I need your help. And let the Lord deal with the other people.
Right.
Why? Because that filling is a promise there. It's something you can get, but we're not going to get it when we're looking at everybody else. Examine yourselves. Not only that, a promise of a continual filling, a promise of continual fellowship. Fellowship there. You see that thing? Springs of water there. You know what you're going to find out? The Lord Jesus Christ was feeding the multitude, and the Bible said as much as they would, they received. You've got all the Jesus you want this morning. Everybody here in this morning says, well, I need more Jesus. You can have all of Him you want because there's so much available. There's a never ending supply of the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're where you're at this morning because that's where you want to be.
Right.
You got up this morning, thank God you're here. But let me tell you something. In your relationship with Christ, you can get closer and closer and closer and closer to Him. And just more of a blessing, more joy, more feeling, more excitement, more of an example of what we ought to be. Y'all, I'm telling you something. The Lord Jesus Christ will fill you to the point that just where it just runs over into the saucer, and your brother in Christ is able to come over and just laugh out of the saucer, man. I'm telling you, there's spiritual blessings available there. Let me see how we're doing here. Ooh, all right. Let me give you this one right here. Not only promise of a continual filling and fellowship, but the promise of a firm foundation. That's what we need, a firm foundation. Here's the thing. The Bible said there that Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now I looked in my Webster's dictionary, and that nether means lower, lying, or beneath, or in the lower part. You know what? She didn't just want the surface blessings. She wanted the nether springs, and He gave them to her. You know what we got to have? We don't want to just have just a surface relationship with Christ. You want to have a deep relationship with Christ. Why? Because look, let me tell you something. The Bible says you need to be rooted and grounded in the faith. Why?
Amen.
Knowledge puffeth up. So if you come in here every Sunday and all you do is just get a good old sermon there, and all you do is just get puffed up with your mind, and you get your head so big you can't come through those doors there, you know what happened? You'll be in a problem. Why? Because the first wind to come in, if you're not grounded, first wind to come in and knock you over. First bad thing will come in and man, shake you up so bad you can't stand it. Why? Because if you don't have those roots in, like a great big old tree with the roots way out and the roots down in Christ, and don't just settle for the surface things, that way when the winds come in and the storm comes in, that tree's able to hold up. Well, I'm telling you this morning, we need to be as men able to hold up. Why? Other people are looking at you.
That's right.
Every bit of every man in here, there's some of you I've been looking up since I was a kid. Brother Chase, I didn't know that. I guarantee you, I have. I've known you since I was little. I thank God you're still serving God. Man, it's a blessing for that. Why? You got some roots in. Y'all, we need some roots in the Lord. We need the nether spring. We need to be rooted and grounded in Christ and excited about the fact that God woke you up another day so you can serve another day. Man, I believe our relationship with Christ ought to excite us, and I believe other people ought to be able to feed off that excitement.
Amen.
Wow, this world's so boring. Just sag, bag, and drag, you know. Another day. Gonna be hot tomorrow. Well, it's pretty today. Yeah, it's gonna rain tomorrow. Well, it had rain for a few. Gonna rain next week. Gonna be cold in a few months. My, man. He just drag you down, man. Some of these people, you couldn't get a holy grunt out of them for nothing, man. God just give them a breeze. God give them air to breathe, and just shoes on the feet, clothes on the back, the car to drive to work, the good job, and can't be satisfied. Y'all, we need to be grounded in the Lord.
Amen.
People ought to be able to feed off the fact that we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord Jesus Christ is there, and He's available, and He's touched with the feelings of our infirmity, and we can get a hold of Him. I've got a God I know that can help me anywhere. You say, where can I pray at? Well, Jonah prayed from the belly of the whale.
Amen.
And Lot, as bad as Lot was, prayed on the way to Zoar. And he said, I want to flee to Zoar. It's a little city, isn't it? Just a little one. And the Lord said, okay, you can go on over there. If Lot can pray while he's running, and Jonah can pray from the belly of the whale, and Nehemiah can pray right before he speaks to the king, I can pray anytime. I thank God I'm able to get a hold of Him and get grounded in the Lord. You've got to be grounded. Now you think about this right here in closing. What's your foundation on? Is it on prayer? There were two houses in Matthew chapter number 7. Both of them houses. Both of them built houses. One of them built on sand and one of them built on a rock. And a storm came to both houses. You know what the difference was in the houses? The one that was built on the rock lasted.
Right.
Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:4, and that rock was Christ. If your foundation is on Christ, you may shake on the rock, but the rock is not going to shake under you. Our foundation needs to be on Christ. It needs to be on prayer. So think about this. Are you praying? And if you're praying, are you persistent? And are you standing on the promises? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, for these